Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
You know, there's something I need you to know. This bag here, I know it looks like I've done it because of our color branding, but actually I had it first, okay? Because I know there'll be about 50 of you coming and saying to me about it after I got there first. I was the prophetic one. So anyway, I just had to get that out of the way. We can talk about other things after the service. That'll be good. While our kids are having a good time, aren't they? I don't know what's going on in there. We got... What? We got a new website. I think they got some extra cowbells or something back there. So I don't know. Check that out sometime. Anyway, if we haven't met, my name is Harmony. I'm one of the pastors here. And I would love to tell you a little bit about our month of prayer and fasting. I almost said week because that's what we usually do. This year, we're doing a month of prayer and fasting. And for those of you that haven't been around in the last couple of weeks, I got up, I think it was two Sundays ago, and invited us to a month of praying and fasting. And in response to a very simple invitation, this community has erupted with a resounding yes, and it is a joy to be in a community that is so responsive. So many of you have opened up your homes. So many of you, more importantly, have opened up your hearts and made space for Jesus in prayer. So, well done. I think it was Crystal Luke. Where's Crystal Luke? Where are you? Right here. Good job this morning in worship. There was some faith being released in our service in the worship, wasn't there? But Chris said to me, that was 1 week in last week, and it was a pretty good week last week, right? 1 week in, just think what it's going to be like 4 weeks from now. So I love the faith, and come on, that's the spirit. And I'm loving the responsiveness of this robust faith community. So here we are at the start of our original week. This was always in the plan. We do this every year. We gather together for several nights, all in, anyone who wants to come throughout the week. And maybe actually I could have some help with my slides, Andrew. You're far better at this than me, yeah. Could we pull up? Okay, so how do I get involved if you're not sure? If you're new or you're just not sure what's happening, come along to the all-church gatherings Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. All the information is on the website. Come along to the smaller gatherings in people's homes, or there's a 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. all-day prayer gathering led by Lori on Tuesday. You can come to that as well. There's a special youth-led night on Saturday, so that is not just for the youth. That is for everyone, but the youth are going to be leading us, which is really exciting. And then, once again, full information on our brand new website. Isn't that fun? So I would love for you to get involved in any of those nights of prayer, days of prayer. And the next slide will tell us what we are praying for: healing, salvation, and that the Lord would stretch out his hand. So one thing just to mention, on Tuesday night in the Vineyard Center, when we gather to pray, there will be a special focus on healing. So if you or a family member is not well, you have the option of either coming along to that, or if you're not well enough to come, would you drop the office an email and say, could you pray for this person? We would love to pray for people by name, and if possible, for their specific condition as well. Okay? Is that clear? Somebody nod at me, okay? So if you're not sure, email me and I'll email you back. How about that? Okay. All right. Today we are going to look at Luke chapter 13, 31 to 35. Whew. In this passage, we're about to discover the heart of Jesus. And to be honest, it's kind of wrecked me these last couple of weeks as I've been meditating on this. And you know, people sometimes talk to me about how I always cry when I get up and speak. I don't like it. Just in case you think this is like part of my show, I don't like it. In the car today, I was like, please, Jesus, let this be the 1 week where I actually hold it together. I'm going to try, but there is such a depth to Jesus's words and so much clarity and so much purpose in his heart. And he is just absolutely compelling. And I just want to be like him. And I think that this community, in this community, what we really want, more than programs and more than great events, is more of his heart. We're not just interested in doing great stuff for Jesus. I know that that's where you are at. I've seen you respond this week. We want to respond to the heart of Jesus, and we want to do what the Father is doing, just as we are seeing Jesus do in the Gospel of Luke. So in this season of prayer this month, he is enlarging our capacity for him and for his presence. And guess what? He still has more to give us. Some of us have received quite a lot this past week. He's got more to give us. He has more to share with us. More of his clarity and purpose, more of his mission for us. But stretching isn't always comfortable, is it? So for some of us this month, emotional will be like this, like a roller coaster, right? Up and down, because there's these moments where we're really wrestling with things in prayer. And that's good and that's right, but it's not comfortable. And I know I'm feeling that sense of discomfort, you know, at this point in the month. So I'd love to just pray for us, and then we'll dive into these few verses. So Jesus, would you help us to receive? We thank you that there's more. Would you enlarge our hearts? Even in the midst of difficult circumstances, even in the midst of all of the stuff going on in Northern Ireland, especially because of that, we need you to enlarge our hearts. We need more of you. Would you still us now in your presence? And Jesus, would you walk around this room? Would you convey your heart? I don't know how good I can convey it, but you can do it really well. So I pray that you would do that, Jesus. Release your heart for us today. Well, this is kind of fun. He's already enlarging our capacity for him. Thank you for your peace, Jesus. Thank you for this good and beautiful community. Amen. All right, this message is titled, Go Tell That Fox. What a great title, hey? I stole it from Jesus. Wait till you see where it comes from. All right, let's read this together. I'm going to read it here from my mini Bible. You can keep the slides going for me, Andrew. Thank you. Okay, Luke chapter 13, verse 31. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until I say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It's kind of a strange little passage, isn't it? Here we see Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. The Pharisees come to deliver this message, don't they? Herod wants to kill you. These guys know how to give a friendly welcome, don't they? Imagine if you arrived somewhere and that was what people said to you. So who are these Pharisees? They are the religious leaders and the experts in the law. They are esteemed in their community for knowing and fulfilling and enforcing what God wants to do, or how he wants us to live. Surely they should be welcoming Jesus if that's who they are. Surely they should recognize him for who he is. So what is happening here? The Pharisees have aligned themselves with Herod, who is the oppressor of the Jewish people. And their desire for influence and control has caused them to align themselves with the enemy. And some of us here today are actually in circumstances and environments and situations which are controlling and hostile to the kingdom of God. So I hope, if that's you, that this is encouraging to you, that even Jesus was harassed by people who were trying to control him. And even Jesus was threatened and directly opposed for who he was. But what I love about Jesus is Jesus wasn't distracted by the Pharisees. He wasn't distracted by their threats and their bullying. He wasn't distracted by their repeated accusations and questions. He knew his destiny. He knew where he was headed. He was on his way to Jerusalem, headed towards his death and resurrection, and he was obeying the will of his heavenly Father. Now, to one of my favorite bits, Jesus' response. I absolutely love it. Upon being threatened and not welcomed, he says, "Go tell that fox." And he responds by saying, "I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow and the next day." So here's the thing about foxes. They sneak in, don't they? They sneak in at night when we're in our beds and grab a hen out of the hen house. They steal, kill, and destroy. They're kind of cute, right? I mean, foxes are kind of cute. We could mistake them for harmless, cute little pets, but actually, they kill, steal, and destroy. I was reading a couple of Bible commentaries on this passage, and some of them took the opportunity to say, just because Jesus spoke like that, don't you be getting any ideas that you can talk like that too. Go tell that fox. But actually, here's the thing. I understand what they're saying. They're talking about how we are to be kind and loving in our interactions with one another. But actually, I disagree, because Jesus isn't speaking to the person. He's speaking to about the fox. He's speaking to the enemy, and he's telling him to get lost. And when we need to speak to the enemy, we need to speak with confidence and authority, and we might need to say, "Go tell that fox to get lost, get out of here." And so I also love that Jesus, instead of getting embroiled in an argument, responds to the Pharisees' accusations with his purpose and his mission. And he says, "I will keep on driving out demons. I will keep on healing people." And my question for us today is, what is your "I will"? What is my "I will"? What is it you need to say back to the enemy, to that little fox, when he comes to distract you from your mission? And do you know what your mission is? Do you know what you're for? Are you allowing yourself to be distracted? And if you don't know what your mission, what your purpose is, now, in this month of prayer, would be a great time to take some focused time, dedicated prayer, to seek that out before the Lord in community. And I truly believe that he wants to speak to many of us about our mission. When I'm praying, I'm often, in these last few weeks, getting a picture of like a formation of geese. And I feel like there's many of us, we're kind of with the, we're flying with the, they're not called a herd, what are they? Not a school. Flock, there we go, thank you. Yeah, a gaggle of geese. Oh, I like that. Go tell that fox there's a gaggle of geese coming his way. If you don't know where you fit in the gaggle, in the formation, this is a great time to seek the Lord for where you fit. I also want to say an aside here just about fasting. So when we are praying, we're making extra room to seek the Lord. When we are fasting, we're taking something out of our diet, shall we say. And one of the things is we don't make a big deal about it here, okay? There's no guilt or pressure. If you're not fasting at all, that's fine, because it's actually between you and Jesus. But for some of us, there's actually some distractions that we can eliminate from our life in this month that will give us a bit of extra space. For me, it's been Netflix, and I don't really like it. I'm finding it harder than I thought. I didn't think it was an issue, but actually it is. But you know, it's a distraction. It's not bad. Right? It's not a bad thing. It's not evil necessarily, but it's a distraction that I am doing without for a little while. So what distractions do we need to eliminate from our life in order to increase our capacity for Jesus, or even just push pause on for a few weeks and see what Jesus does? So next, then, I long for the focus and the clarity that Jesus had, because he was not disheartened. He knows his identity. I find him so compelling. Jesus knew exactly who he was. He knew that he knew that he knew that he knew who he was. He was God's beloved son. There's this incredible moment at Jesus' baptism. Jesus comes up out of the water. The Spirit descends like a dove. And the voice from heaven says, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And the most incredible thing to me about this passage is that Jesus is affirmed by his Father as his beloved son before his ministry has begun, before he did a thing. He hadn't done anything, and yet his Father was pleased. He was loved, and it's the same for us. We are called his beloved even before we do all kinds of great stuff for Jesus. So some of us need to be rewired in our thinking this month. We've been brought up in a works and a performance-based system, and we need to encounter the truth that we do not earn love. It does not work that way. So Jesus knows who he is. He is the Father's beloved son. And let's not also forget, though, as we're talking about Jesus in his identity, it's easy to go, oh, he was God, you know, it was easy for him. He was fully human as well. And so I think it's fair to say that the constant rejection, the constant bullying, the constant questioning from people about who he was must have hurt. It must have hurt sometimes if he really was fully human. Throughout Jesus' ministry, we see this whirlwind of people, and you've probably tracked that as we've gone through Luke. People are asking, who are you? Who do you say that you are? Who do others say that you are? Are you this person? Are you that person? And then some people go as far to say, come on, prove it. If you really are the Son of God, then do this over here. It was constant, 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 constant. With all that opposition coming against him all the time, I marvel at Jesus' ability not to become disheartened. Maybe you, maybe I have become disheartened at times, maybe right now. Maybe you have known who you are, you've experienced the love of the Father for you, but you've lost heart. Have you become disheartened? You know, if Jesus experienced constant attack against his identity, we shouldn't be surprised that we experience the same. But I don't know about you, I'm constantly surprised. This does not sink in for me. If you do, if you get this, maybe you can pray for me and help me figure this out. But I'm consistently surprised that the enemy bullies and that he tries to get me to lose heart. Can we be honest about this? It takes tremendous courage to be honest about how we feel, especially in church. Shouldn't be that way, but that's how it is. And I had to muster some serious courage this week with my spiritual director. She is wonderful, but things don't always go according to my plan when I'm sitting in her office. So she was leading me through a prayer, and in the middle of this prayer, I was sitting there with my eyes closed, and if you'd looked at me, you probably would have thought, oh, there she is, receiving the presence of Jesus, so serene, so still. Oh my goodness, you know, the picture of a perfect prayer time. But a few minutes into her praying, all of a sudden, I was overcome by this incredible panic that I had left my purse in my car on the passenger side, and I hadn't locked the door. And all I could think about was this panic. And then I was like, my car wasn't parked in a great neighborhood either, so I was like, it's definitely going to be stolen. And how am I going to tell Andy? And I was going down this whole trail, you know, not that Andy would be nasty or anything, not to paint that picture at all. But dear love of me, he has to deal with quite a few calamities that I bring upon our life, as you, many of you well know. And so to put another one on him was just more than I could bear in that moment. But I was really tempted to bottle it and to not say to her when I opened my eyes and to just sit there and go, oh, that was lovely, you know. Oh, I really felt the Spirit. Well, I did feel the Spirit, but then I also, something else happened. So anyway, I just decided I was going to be an adult, like Andy has been encouraging us to do over this last season, and be really brave and just tell her about my ridiculous panic. And what ensued then was a very healing, albeit difficult, conversation about where that anxiety was actually coming from and what was really going on. It was the beginning of a really honest conversation about the state of my heart. Honesty is hard, isn't it? It was the beginning of bringing some light into some dark places. And it was through that conversation with her that I heard the voice of Jesus speak to me very clearly. Do you know the voice of Jesus? Can you discern the difference between his voice and other voices? If not, maybe this month is a starting point. You can receive prayer just as I did. You can be honest about what's going on in that prayer time. The prayer ministry team are now fully warned that if you stop and say, hang on a minute, I don't feel so good about this prayer right now. Can we talk about this? They've been fully prepped now. You have permission to do that. You might need to do the courageous thing. You might need to come forward for prayer today. You might need to ask for help. You might need to speak to someone like I did, outside of Sunday mornings, and just bring some things out into the open. The enemy tries to get us to push things down, doesn't he? And it adds to this sense of disheartenedness or heavy-heartedness. And he says things like, oh, sure, it's not that bad. Well, someone else has it worse. That's one we hear a lot, especially in Northern Ireland. You all are so wonderful and caring and compassionate towards other people. But I hear a lot this thing of, well, oh, I'm sure someone else has it worse than me. Maybe they should get prayer and I should just suck it up and get on with it. You might be thinking, the prayer ministry team are really busy, the pastors are really busy, what would people think of me? I mean, we could go on and on. There's all these different excuses that the enemy throws our way. But the thing is that Jesus, our loving friend, comes to us and speaks to us words of life, words of healing. And even his words of correction and truth, as I found on Monday, are loving. Even those, even when it hurts a bit, it's still from a place of love. And the enemy's words, however, cause us to lose heart. But with Jesus, we take heart. Heavy hearts become light, broken hearts are mended. If you don't have a friendship with Jesus, today is a great day to begin. And we'd love to pray for you at the end of the service and introduce you to Jesus. So I have a little PS. I have a little point that, you know, I couldn't really figure out how to slot it nicely into my talk, but I really want to say it. So much like the Pharisees in Jesus' time put a heavy yoke on people with their rules and regulations, my sense is that some of us here have been badly bruised by the heavy yoke of religion. And it's possible that even some of the confusion of, as we're talking about identity, as we're talking about who we really are, has been due to what we've experienced in church, or what a leader in your life has said to you. So if this has been your experience, I'm really sorry. And if that's been your experience here, I'm extra, extra sorry, and would love to talk to you about that. I would love to encourage you to get some prayer. For some of us, we've lived under a false and very, very strong sense of performance and duty. And serving God has been a heavy burden rather than a delight. And the Holy Spirit wants to turn that around for us. There can't even be an actual physical tiredness as well as a spiritual tiredness that comes with the religious thing. And today, Jesus wants to set you free from that heavy weight. Jesus wants to lift the heavy yoke of that religious performance and show us as a community the easy yoke that comes from friendship with him. He wants to break off the effects of tiredness that come from performing and striving. So where we have been disheartened because of a religious spirit and a heavy yoke, we're just going to pray right now. In Jesus' name, would you highlight that if that's something that we're wrestling with? If maybe there's even some Christian leaders that we need to forgive, we don't want to be carrying that around with us forever. And that's a heavy burden. That is a heavy yoke. And so I pray right now that you would release supernatural forgiveness and that you would release us from the heavy yoke of striving and performing, following the rules and being good Christians. I pray that you would lead us into a place of abundant life. In Jesus' name, amen. And if that's not your story, then just thank the Lord right now. Praise Jesus. You probably have no idea how that feels, and just be thankful that you don't. So the last point here, Jesus is not defeated. He knows that he has the victory. He knows how the story ends, but before we pop the champagne and celebrate the victory, we'll get to that in a moment. Let's just take a little closer look at Jesus' words to us because they are really important and there's a lot in them for us. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Isn't it interesting that there's a fox and a hen in this story? I think that's really interesting. Jesus is comparing himself to the hen. I wonder what that was like in his day, actually. A strong Jewish man likening himself to a female chicken. But I wonder if that irritated people as well. But anyway, he's comparing himself to the hen trying to protect and gather up her chicks. If we just stop for a moment, we can get a glimpse of the compassion in that analogy, of the depth of love. Can you sense how he feels about Jerusalem, even though they kill God's messengers, the prophets, and actually are about to kill him? And he knows that, but even still, there's compassion. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. There's a cry in there, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Northern Ireland, Northern Ireland. I think the line that has, like, it's just really got to me was this phrase, "You were not willing." You were not willing. The chicks are not allowing themselves to be gathered. And I think because I'm a mother, maybe it's no coincidence that a woman is speaking on this passage. Maybe I relate more easily to the idea of being a hen. I don't know. But as a mother, that love for my children, if they didn't want to be gathered, if they didn't want to be near me, if they rejected me, if they killed me, how would I feel? How painful. And probably what I feel is like a teeny tiny fraction of what Jesus feels. And so this is the place that I have arrived at this week. I'm sure there's more to journey, but I'm kind of stuck in this question of, am I willing? Am I willing? Are we willing to be gathered? I imagine Jesus in this moment with eyes of mercy and compassion. If we can picture his face, what would his eyes look like? Would there be tears in his eyes? Would he even well up? Would he weep? What would the tone of his voice be like? Would we hear the longing in his voice? The desire for his people to know him now. Now, not one day when he comes back. That's what he's saying. One day he will return, but his longing is for us to know him now, not tomorrow, not the next day, now. So, if we could pull up the next slide, Andrew. We've been talking about our vision, formation, community, and impact. This word formation, being formed spiritually, isn't about forming ourselves into something. That's what I've realized this week. I can't make myself have that kind of heart like Jesus did. That depth of compassion, that sense of being willing. I've tried to muster it up, but it's just not there. It's a supernatural thing that he forms in me. He's forming it in us. Formation is about being formed by him. And in order to do that, we have to be able to receive. We have such a hard time receiving sometimes. Receiving love, receiving Jesus' words to us. And for some of us brought up in a rules-based faith system rather than a relationship-based system, it's even harder to receive. And I don't know if this is overstretching the mark, but I am one of you in Northern Ireland. I have the citizenship. I've lived here for 17 years. And so I say this to us, Northern Ireland. Jesus wants us to receive. He wants us to receive. Are we willing? The Pharisees were hard-hearted. And what I've realized this week is I like to point the finger at the Pharisees, but sometimes I am one. That's a painful reality. Sometimes I act like one because I lack mercy and compassion and because I can't receive. Maybe they couldn't give mercy because they didn't know how to receive mercy. You can't serve something that you're not cooking. You can't give something that you don't possess. And Jesus is inviting us to receive from him for us. And then for others. He is expanding this month our capacity to receive. He's enlarging our hearts. We have some massive dreams for this city, for this community. And I don't have time to go into them, but they are there. And Andy spoke about some of them last week, and you'll hear more in the months to come. We have these massive dreams, but in order for them to come to fruition, we need more of him. In our own strength, we're not going to get there. We have tried to find a building. We haven't found it. But you know what? He's got one. He can do it. He can do what we can't. And this receiving posture is really uncomfortable, isn't it? There's a humility. There is a faith. There is a stretching in it that is very, very uncomfortable. So Holy Spirit, come and increase our capacity for discomfort. We really like to be comfortable, don't we? I know I do. Jesus had a vision. He knew what his purpose was. The glory of the Father and the redemption of the earth for all time. He knew that he would have to endure great suffering and die on a cross, but he also knew that he would rise again on the third day. We too can make sense of our suffering, our trials, with a greater vision for our lives in him. We might face all kinds of things in our life, but Jesus already has secured the victory. We don't have to be distracted, we don't have to be disheartened, and we don't have to live defeated. Why don't you stand? I want to make sure we leave time for some ministry here. We are going to do ministry in two parts, I think. It's going to be a two-part symphony, if it works. So, the prophetic team, I'm going to just invite you in a moment, okay? We'll do something else first. If you want to receive an enlarging of your heart, if you are struggling with being distracted, disheartened, or defeated, then I want to invite you up to the front. And maybe Chris McVitie, where are you? Could you come and, you know, do the lovely piano thing for us? So come, Holy Spirit. I pray that you would help us to receive. We humble ourselves before you and we say that we need you, that we can't muster this up in our own strength, that we are absolutely desperately in need of you. And Jesus, would you make us willing? And would you help us to respond now? Not tomorrow, not the next day. Now. And we pray that you would lift off distraction. Would you lift off that sense of having lost heart, that disheartenedness? And would you break off any sense that anyone is caring about living defeated? And remind us of the victory this morning. So if that's you, if you're struggling with feeling disheartened, distracted, a sense of being defeated, if you've forgotten who you are this morning, or anything at all, I suppose, really, come on to the front. We're just going to wait for a minute. And there's no shame here. So in Jesus' name, we break off that shame and that guilt that would make us feel like we shouldn't come to the front, that we shouldn't admit weakness. And if I could invite the prayer ministry team to start gathering around, because here's where your community comes around you. And for some of you, you were up here last week as well, and there's no shame in that. We love that posture of receiving. So right now, Jesus, would you break off distraction? Bullying, lies of the enemy, that sense of being disheartened. And especially for anyone here today who feels defeated, in Jesus' name, we come against that sense of being defeated and we speak the peace and the presence of Jesus over you, and we speak faith and the victory of Jesus over you as well. You might feel defeated, but you're actually not. That is not actually what's real and true. And there's still some people that need someone to pray with them. So if you have ever done any prayer ministry training ever or been a life group leader and can pray, would you come on up? Because we really want to gather around our community, because we want to be the kind of community that affirms people when they tell the truth, when they are honest about where they're at. So bless you guys for being honest. Okay, for those of you that are still at the back, I can't really see you, but I'm going to invite the prophetic team, which is four people right now, to go over towards the wall on my right. Okay, so listen up. If you line up over there, if you've never had a prophetic word, if you've never had anyone speak the heart of God over you, or you haven't in a long time, or you're just kind of wondering what on earth you're doing on this earth, and you would love to hear from the Lord, would you head over to that wall and bring your phones so that you can record it? Okay? Be aware that you'll need to weigh and test this as an adult, all right? And then be aware as well that this is different than the ministry that's happening at the front. So if you want someone to pray with you about a specific circumstance, then come up to the front. If you would like a word from the Lord, go over to my right along the wall, there's two sets of two people who would love to offer you a prophetic word. If you want to know more about the gift of prophecy, join the Prophetic Life Group, which is kicking off soon. You can sign up online. If you have children, can you please go and collect them now? That would be wonderful. And I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you in the name of Jesus to go and pursue the mission that he has called you to in the power and the faith with an enlarged heart for the things that he has called you to do in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. So get your kids or come to the front for ministry or come to the side for a prophetic word.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.